Our scripture readings for this Thanksgiving Sunday are filled with the recognition that we rely on God, on nature, and on other people for so much of what we need to live. We can forget this, thinking that we can do everything ourselves, but today we give thanks, knowing that God is the source of our life. First, we hear from Moses just before the people leave their years of wandering in the desert and enter the promised land. He has some Thanksgiving advice for them. And then in our gospel reading, a healing takes place, and it is the outsider, the Samaritan, who recognizes the source and returns in gratitude. The first reading is from Deuteronomy 8, 7 to 18. For the Lord our God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack for nothing, a land where the rocks are iron, and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord our God for the good land he has given you, and be careful that you do not forget the Lord our God, failing to observe his commandments and his laws and decrees that I am giving to you today. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increases, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord our God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the waste and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land, with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known. To humble and test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, "My power and strength and my hands have produced this wealth for me." But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord our God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. And our second reading is from Luke 17, 11 to 19. Ten healed of leprosy. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, and they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and the actions of our lives speak of gratitude to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. People actually consider walking on water or in thin air to be a miracle, says Thich Nhat Hanh, the Buddhist from Vietnam, who has many connections with Christian churches and Jewish synagogues and people of faith all over the world. But he goes on to say, but I think the real miracle is not walking on water or walking in air, but to walk on the earth. Every day we are engaged in a miracle which we don't recognize. A blue sky, white clouds, green leaves, the black, curious eyes of a child, our own eyes, all is a miracle. It's the miracle we celebrate today. The miracle that we have been exploring throughout the season of creation. Since 4 weeks ago, we spoke of awe as the appropriate initial posture when we behold the creation. And when we search for the hand of the Creator within the creation. And then we spoke of this incredible process of life. And in all its amazing unfolding, and we saw it as a divine process. Maybe life itself is a window into the life giver. And then we took a look at science and how it's often been perceived by people of faith as a threat to faith or a threat to religion. But rather taking a second look at science as a window, a deep window into the mind of the life giver, into the handiwork of the divine. And then last week on Worldwide Communion Sunday, we attempted to get real about what is happening for others who share this earthly walk and share this amazing green-blue home and the power of connections with those folks in the creation to bring hope. And finally today, Thich Nhat Hanh points us to our own feet and to the miracle of walking on this earth. If the most appropriate beginning posture for the season of creation is awe, the most appropriate ending posture for this season is gratitude. But let's go back, before Prophet Hanh, way back to Prophet Moses, because Thich Nhat Hanh was not the first one to take off his shoes and ask us to think carefully about our relationship with that which is beneath our feet. By the time we get to the story of Moses that we read today, Moses is an old man, old in a whole lot of different ways. He's old because he's lived for a long time, but he's also old because he's endured much as the leader of this sometimes jubilant, sometimes fractious bunch of people. And after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, hoping for and waiting for and longing for the promised land, they, in this reading, they have finally arrived. And they're standing on the banks of the Jordan River and looking across. And they realize that they're looking at everything they had dreamed of, everything they had hoped for, everything they had worked for all these years lay before them. The promised land flowing with milk and honey. There it is. And it felt like the height of excitement and fulfillment. This is like the big arrival. This is like the event of the century. This is brand new life after an incredibly long labor and delivery. Here they are. The old has passed away. Behold, look at it. The new. It was rich. It was a sweet moment. Full. And what would be more appropriate at that moment than to kick up your heels and celebrate and enjoy and kind of wallow in it, indulge. This is your moment. You've been waiting for this. Enjoy it. They'd given up so much to get there. They'd gone without for so long, so it's about time, you know, take and enjoy. Break out the champagne. The war is over. It's all those kinds of things, you know. The yoke is lifted. Let's put the past behind us and enter our future. And Moses, at his old age, is in there with the best of them. I mean, he's been waiting for this. He's paid a price for this, right? He has been the leader of this group who have sometimes wanted to lynch him. And now he finally got there. So he's probably ready to celebrate more than anyone. And he has every right. But there's something niggling at him. Something wants to be said. The prophet in him is saying, wait just a minute here. There's something we're forgetting. So Moses speaks up. As much probably to himself in this time of reverie than to anybody. When you go across that river, he says, and into the promised land, it will be wonderful. Look at it. It will be incredible. It will be fulfillment. And when you get there, and you've been there for a while, and you're full, and you're comfortable, perhaps maybe after a generation or two, you've built houses and you've lived in them, and you've grown accustomed to being in this incredible place that looks so new to you right now. And when stability has kind of arrived, when so recently all we've known is instability, when you're enjoying the fruits of your labor and it's all in great abundance, it will be tempting to go to sleep. It will be tempting. That very moment when you have so much is your most vulnerable moment as a people of God. Right there. Because it will be tempting to forget. It will be tempting to think that you did it yourself. It will be tempting to think that you are self-made people. It will be tempting to allow your vulnerable self, your wanderer self that you're so familiar with right now, the self within you that knows how tenuous and vulnerable your life really is, it will be tempting to allow that self to wither. Don't let that happen. In that moment, give your head a shake and give yourself a talking to about the past and where you came from and about gratitude for what got you here, really. Don't forget, remember the Red Sea and how vulnerable you were and how the Egyptian army was breathing down your neck and how God opened the waters before you. Remember that? Remember how you wondered which direction you were supposed to go and God led you by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night? Remember that? Remember how hungry you were? How your stomachs were grumbling and so were your mouths? And God gave manna in the desert. And remember how thirsty you were? And there came water Remember how you were arguing and you were sort of biting at each other and you couldn't figure out how to get along, and then God gave really a simple set of community standards, the Ten Commandments. This is how to relate with God and with each other. Remember all that? It will be tempting to think that you did it all yourselves. But when you get there, whether you make it or whether you break it, no one makes themselves and no one breaks themselves. Whether you make it or break it depends not on yourself, but on a delicate balance of life on this earth. And that's the thing to remember. The thing that sustains not just what's there, but what unfolds in life. And that is God's gift that you have not made, but that you live in. It is a miracle to walk on the earth, an amazing miracle. But in our culture of what Mary Jo Leddy, in her book Radical Gratitude, calls perpetual dissatisfaction, in which we are fed a daily dose of yearning for more, a daily dose of what's bigger, what's perceived as better, we can easily forget the amazing miracle of just life itself. And in Canada, of all places, living in a land flowing with milk and honey as we do, and I know that that milk and honey is not distributed very equitably, but the fact is we live in a land flowing with milk and honey. In these days of grave concern for security, it can be tempting to close off our borders to newcomers, forgetting that for most of us, we don't have to look back very far to find a time when we ourselves were newcomers, vulnerable, wandering, in which we, like Moses, stood on the banks, on the shores, for the first time, and beheld this place as an incredible gift, an amazing gift. How quickly we forget or fall asleep and take the land for granted and become hungry for new miracles, as if walking on this earth is not miracle enough. So today, or tomorrow, when that incredible smell of turkey is bathing your house and smelling so good, or when that second piece of pumpkin pie is sitting heavy in your stomach, and you are aware of abundance, when you walk upon the yellow, orange, red carpet of the world, and you breathe the crisp air of coming winter, behold the miracle of all of that. Give your head a shake. Give yourself a gratitude talking to. Allow that sense of gratitude to erode forgetfulness that might just be in you somewhere. To erode your yearning for more. To erode your desire to pull up the drawbridge and keep it for your own. we have as Christians in this faith of ours is more radical than you might think, because it goes after a worldview that is so prevalent in our world right now. A worldview that says, take it if you can. A worldview that has us getting on the rat race and making bigger and better and more and consuming. This thankfulness, this gratitude, faith has the power to erode that if we let it. And having eroded it, it allows us to build a life rooted in the creation, rooted in the gifts of God, rooted in that which we can truly count on. So today, let gratitude have its way with you. Amen.